But let's look at Isaiah 55, and I want you to just look at some very common or very famous verses here. Isaiah 55 is such a beautiful chapter overall in the Bible. I mean, it's every chapter in the Bible is beautiful, but so much is Isaiah 55. And I just want to pause and meditate upon verses 8 and 9, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The title for the sermon this morning is, "God Knows Better Than You." God knows better than you. And this is a very basic doctrine. We all know that God knows better than us. We all know that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, you know, almighty. And it's a basic concept, I suppose, in the Bible. But really, when you stop and meditate upon God's knowledge, when you understand that God knows better, far better than you, you know, if you were given the position of godhood, you were made God. All right. First of all, that'd be blasphemy, but just consider for a moment, how would you operate the world? How would you operate the universe? How would you offer salvation? You know, your ways would not even come close to the ways of the Lord. You would fail. You'd fail on day number one, you know, trying to be a God, as it were, you know. And but we serve a mighty God. We serve an amazing God. And the reason I wanted to preach about this topic today is if you ask me what is your greatest learning over the past year, you know, having left the Sunshine Coast, come to Sydney with a family, you know, what's the greatest thing that you've learned? So I'd say to you, man, I really learned that God knows better than me. Like my plans, I can plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. Or, you know, generally speaking, life before COVID world, generally speaking, life was the same, right? Days were very similar. Mondays were similar to any other Monday. Tuesday was similar to every other Tuesday. Sunday similar to every other Sunday. And when things are pretty consistent and organized, it's easy to make plans. You know, you expect things to turn out a certain way and it just seems to happen. And there's wisdom in planning. There's wisdom in planning ahead. You know, you'll be a lot more productive in life if you were more organized. And but what about when things aren't organized? What about things when your plans don't work out the way you thought and the world changes, you know, unlike you ever expected, you know? The original plan when I came down to Sydney was I'd be traveling every week, pretty much every week, to be up there in Queensland with you guys preaching for the midweek services. That didn't work out. You know, my plan, right, was to do so many things that I intended to do here in Sydney for helping this Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And that, a lot of that hasn't worked out. You know, I never thought that I'd be carrying out things like church discipline. I never thought I'd be limited to live streaming you know, the frustrations of not being able to get back up there. This is supposed to be the week that our family is now preparing to get back up to the Sunshine Coast and to, you know, get back plugged into New Life Baptist Church. And it hasn't worked out. So what do we do? Well, you know, do we panic? Do we get frustrated? Do we get upset? And, you know, we might go through those emotions. But I look and I just have to say, you know what, God, you know, another title that I was thinking about this morning is let God be God. You know, and it's not up to me to decide whether God is God. God, of course, is God, but it's about accepting where God allows situations or God plans situations, and you need to just rest and say, well, God knows better than me. God has his ways. God has his plans, and it doesn't always line up with what we want. Well, you know what? If he knows better and he has a great love for me and I'm his child, I know that whatever happens, that it's going to be in my best interests. It's going to be in the best interest of New Life Baptist Church and Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we need to learn to just rest in knowing that God knows better than us. Now, if you look at Isaiah 55 again, look at verse number 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Well, obviously. I mean, did you think you could work out God? Do you think you can understand every decision, every thought process that operates through God? Of course we don't. Now, we're given a glimpse, of course, through his word. We understand the Lord God through his word. But overall, brethren, we truly cannot process what God knows. It would destroy us. It would utterly destroy us. And as I said, I want to meditate on this today and just consider our God, our great God. You know, when it comes to our anniversary sermon, I could be preaching about our church. I could be preaching about the work we've done for the Lord. But I'd really just want to magnify the Lord God. I really want us to just reposition ourselves, understand who God is, how he's allowed us to go through 4 years of our church, and why God's allowed it, and how God's seen us through this process, but just to consider our almighty God, to give him praise, to give him worship. He deserves it when we understand how great our God is. It says, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Hey, my way was to get down to Sydney. Well, the Lord allowed that. My way was to get back to the Sunshine Coast this week. God has not allowed that, okay? Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And as I said, I can either get frustrated, and let me just share with you, I have been frustrated many times throughout this past year, even beyond this past year, I've been frustrated. So I've had to learn this. I've had to relearn something that is so basic. And it's one thing to understand and just to understand, like to know a doctrine that God knows all things and God allows all things for his purposes. But then to live through that is something else entirely. And you can truly appreciate that doctrine, that teaching, when you have to really learn it, when you really have to give up your ways, give up your understanding, accept that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and say, well, God, you know, and I'm just going to rest in you. And what's wonderful about verse number 9, it kind of compares our knowledge and our plans, our ways, compared to God's ways by saying, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. So as different as heaven, as far away and as high as the heavens are compared to the earth, that's how different the thoughts of God are to the thoughts of man. He says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So notice in verse number 9, he compares the heavens, plural, okay? So the Lord gives us this illustration in creation to best understand how far we are removed from the thoughts of God. You cannot outthink God. You cannot know better than God. It's impossible, brethren, okay? Now you can, as I said, tap into some of the knowledge of God, again, through his word, but he gives us this comparison of the heavens. So let's consider the three heavens. Of course, the first heaven that we can look at is our sky, is our atmosphere. You know, it's visible. We can see the clouds. We can see the birds, all right? We can see the effects of the winds as they blow in the air. And we have an understanding because we can observe, right? We can see how clouds become rain clouds, right? Even with a lot of effort, a lot of, you know, engineering, we've learned how to get up in that place, get up to that atmosphere, right? With vehicles, with planes, with hot air balloons, or, you know, with helicopters. You know, mankind has discovered, hey, we've learned, you know, aerodynamics. We know how to get up there, right? We've observed the shape of a bird's wing, and we've shaped the wings of an aeroplane in such a way so it can maintain and keep, you know, flying up in the air. And we can understand the atmosphere. We can understand our sky to a large extent, okay? But it still requires effort, doesn't it? It requires some effort and some knowledge, the knowledge of the sciences to understand the sky and the atmosphere. And we might liken this to, you know, the Ten Commandments, where generally speaking, even the unsaved, you know, even the godless can look upon the Ten Commandments, understand the Ten Commandments, because the Lord has written his laws in our hearts as well. And generally speaking, people will say, hey, these are good rules to live by. And yeah, it's good to not lie. It's good to not murder, right? We should not covet after the things that belong to others, etc., right? You know, people can look at, you know, certain things about God's knowledge and tap into it to some extent, right? It's obvious. It's visible. You know, that would be our atmosphere. That would be our sky. And then, of course, we have our second heaven, which we know much less about, which is what we know as outer space, okay? And again, we can observe to some extent. You know, your eye can see the celestial bodies. We can see the sun and the moon and the stars. Hey, but if you had a telescope, you'd see a lot more of the stars. If you had a telescope, you'd be able to zoom in much closer to the moon. And, you know, this requires a lot more effort. I mean, you know, a lot of people now can easily purchase, or not right now because of COVID, but generally speaking, when it comes to traveling in our sky atmosphere, people can book a flight and experience it. But how many of us can book a flight to outer space? It's very few and far between, isn't it? Okay. And it literally costs in the millions of dollars to get a vehicle up in that area. Okay. And even then, it can't get very far. Okay. Really, I mean, you really can't get too far. It'll take, you know, the lifespan of entire man basically to travel, you know, any, you know, distance in space, and still you're not even coming close to how far it extends. You know, by looking at the celestial bodies, we're able to track and understand time. We can understand days, months and years because of the way, you know, the celestial bodies move, the sun and the moon. And but when we look at the stars cannot be numbered. We can look at the stars and go, boy, there's so many stars we cannot number. And as I said, just you get a telescope and you'll see even more stars, okay? It's just, well, we can understand to some extent, but we truly can't fathom how wide and how expansive the space is. And yet the Bible tells us in Psalm 147, verse 4, it says, "He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth all by their names." The Lord knows every single star. He knows how many stars there are, okay? He created them all. He put them all in its place, and he's even named them all. You know, yes, man has attempted to name some stars, some constellations. Well, God has achieved naming them all, numbering them all. He knows exactly what's going on in outer space. You know, one thing that truly boggles the mind, oh, actually, let me just read verse number 5 there as well. Psalm 147, verse number 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Infinite. What's infinite? It means it never ends. God's understanding never ends. Boy, you know, we can read our Bible cover to cover. I truly believe when we get to heaven, we're still going to be learning. Say, what are we going to be doing for all eternity? I believe we're still learning. And say, but surely we get to a point where we stop learning. We've learned it all. You can't learn it all, because if you learned it all, you'd be God. His understanding is infinite, meaning that for all eternity, we're going to continue learning about our God, continue learning about his knowledge, okay? Continue learning about everything there is to know, and we'll never get to the end of it, because he's God and we're just but man, okay? And it's just, you know, it's difficult to fathom the understanding and the knowledge of God. You know, understanding the science behind an expanding universe boggles the mind. You know, the sciences of, you know, have basically said the universe continues to expand. It's just constantly expanding. The outer space, the second heaven, is constantly getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Try to wrap your mind around that. You say, well, maybe that's false. Maybe that's a false science. No, this is actually confirmed with us in the Bible. If you're in Isaiah, please go to Isaiah 42 in verse number 5. Isaiah 42 and verse number 5, Isaiah 42 verse number 5 says, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein." All right, so notice that God stretched out the heavens. Now, that is saying past tense. That is stretched out the heavens. Please go to Isaiah 40 now. Let's go to Isaiah 40 and verse number 22. Isaiah 40 and verse number 22. Okay, we can, I guess, understand, yeah, God stretched out the heavens and, you know, but now he's done. That's the past tense. He's done. Well, no, actually, he continues to stretch it out. In Isaiah 40, verse number 22, it says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." Notice that the stretching is stretcheth. It's in the present tense. The Lord God, not only did he stretch the heavens, but he continues to stretch out the heavens even today. Science is still trying to understand that, okay? That's something that they've come up, they've discovered apparently, that the heavens continue. My question is, okay, it continues to grow, it continues to stretch, but into what space? If that space doesn't exist, in what sense? I mean, these things just blow the mind, okay? Yet God is continually blowing our minds, okay? We cannot understand even the second hand. We can observe it to some extent, but to truly understand and the distances of certain objects, it just blows the mind. It truly blows the mind. And again, God is just using this as an illustration of how far his thoughts are removed from our thoughts. And that's just the second heaven. You know, there's 9 times in the Bible that he references that he stretches out the heavens. 9 times. So this is something that the Lord wants us to understand, right? Then we have the third heaven. This is, of course, where the throne of God is. This is where the presence of God is. This is where the heavenly hosts abide. This is where the spirits of God, and this is where you go when you die. This is where the angels are. And for us today, can you see it? We can't even see it. Hey, we can see the sky. We can see space to some extent, We can't see heaven. We cannot see heaven, okay? So as I said, looking at the sky is kind of like looking at the Ten Commandments. Okay, we get it, okay? Looking at outer space is like kind of digging deep into the understanding, the doctrines of God. And it's like, you know, it requires effort. It requires reading. It requires meditation. It requires study, okay? But you get to the point where, yeah, I get it. I get what God is saying. When you look, consider heaven, though, the third heaven, we can't even see it. We get some descriptions, the streets of gold, mansions, but truly, you know, are we just considering mansions on the earth and we're just considering gold in this earth? What is gold like in heaven? Apparently, you can see through it to some extent. How big are these mansions that God himself is building? You know, truly understanding that, we cannot wrap our minds around it. And, you know, truly, when it comes to the Bible, you're never going to fully wrap your head around everything, every doctrine, every verse, every chapter. You'll never get to the point where on this earth you'll fully understand it all. In fact, there'll be things in the Bible that you just do not understand, okay? You say, well, what do we do then? Well, this is why God requires our faith. We get to a point where we just do not understand. We cannot comprehend the third heaven. There are things we just will not understand that takes place on this earth. There are things in the Bible that we just won't be able to wrap our heads around. But that's okay, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, okay? His knowledge is infinite. There's a continual learning that we get to experience. I like to learn. I don't know about you, brethren. I was never really academic in school, but I like to learn my Bible. I like to learn interesting facts, you know, about the world. It's actually fun to gain knowledge. Well, it's going to be fun for all eternity, continually gaining the knowledge that God has for us. And, you know, we've never seen the Father. No man has seen the Father. Some have seen Jesus Christ, but hey, we've not seen Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost lives in us. The Holy Ghost is working in our hearts right now, but we don't see the Holy Ghost. But I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the triune God. I believe that 2,000 years ago, the Father sent the Son to die in my place. And I know you believe that too. We believe it because of faith. God is pleased when we believe his word. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, we cannot comprehend the things that God has prepared for us. Again, it requires faith. Faith to know that God has prepared for us something wonderful that cannot be seen right now. But I'm looking forward to it. I know I'm looking forward to it. What are you looking forward to, Pastor Kevin? I'm not really sure. But I know it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be awesome. I know heaven, the new heavens, the new earth are going to be the most amazing things. It'll continually blow our minds, okay? It's going to be the best roller coaster ride we've ever been on, okay? It's going to be great. And then it says in verse number 10, but God have revealed revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, the only way to understand the deep things of God is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, thank God that he's given every believer the Holy Spirit, okay? We can all apply faith on his word and understand it to a greater degree. You know, there are many things that I've just not understood in life, but I just say, God, I'm just going to have my faith in you. You're doing what you need to do. You know, you've had to operate the way you have to operate. And then when you place your faith, it's kind of like, now I understand. Some people seek to understand and say, well, now that I understand, now I'll place my faith. Doesn't really work like that in the Christian life. In the Christian life, we go from faith to faith. We put our faith in what God is doing. We put our faith upon his word. And we say, and then eventually it comes to mind. Eventually it makes sense. You understand certain truths. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, our mind needs this constant wash. It needs a constant renewal, okay? Renewal means it's over and over and over again. We've been trained to consider this world. We've been trained in the philosophies of man. We've been trained about the things that we can see and touch, the temporary, brethren. And we can see its society and we understand how man sometimes is and thinks. We need to put all of that aside and say, well, God, I need to renew my mind because this just gives me a very worldly, a very fleshly understanding of all things. I want your wisdom, Lord. and to gain that wisdom, to understand why God allows certain things, why God has allowed you to suffer, why he's allowed you to go through tribulation, why he's allowed you to go through illnesses, things that you prefer you have never gone through, somehow God saw fit to allow you to go through that because he knows better than you. He knows better than you. Say, Pastor Kevin, why? People sometimes ask me this. They go through hardships. Why? I say, I don't know why, but I know the one who knows why, and that's the Lord God. The Lord God knows why. So I can maybe guide you to some understanding of the scriptures, but at the end of the day, to truly understand why, you need to go to the Lord God and ask him why. And sometimes you'll get the answer, and sometimes you won't. Okay? And when you don't get the answer, you know what? Just have faith that God knows best for you, that he intends the best for you. You know, the Bible said that my ways are higher than your ways. You know, if we put ourselves in the place of Adam and Eve when they fell, when they sinned against the Lord, and knowing that there's punishment to come, knowing that you've disobeyed God and mankind is now damned and sinned, and you're going to be cast out of the garden. Imagine God went to you, pretend you were one of the two, Adam or Eve, and said, well, we need to fix this up. You know, we need to find a way to, you know, cleanse you from your sins. We need to find a way for you to be righteous now that you've messed up. You know, what could you come up with? You know, what could man come up with? Why are there so many religions in this world? Because man is trying to come up with a way of salvation, a way to heaven, a way to be made right with God within man. We all know that there is a heaven. We all know there's punishment in hell. We all know these things. Man knows these things. They can deny it as much as they want to, but deep down they know God has already put that in their hearts, in their conscience, that one day you're going to stand before the judgment of God, okay? And so man is constantly trying to come up with a way. How do I get myself cleansed? And what do I end up with? Good works. Well, just do the best you can. Give money to the poor. Give money to the church. Show that you truly love, and yet the Bible tells that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, how many of us would have come up with a thought and say, well, God, maybe if you sacrificed your son, you know, maybe if Jesus dies for us and sheds his blood and we can have the cleansing through his blood and the wrong that I've done, God, how about we put that on your son? And all the righteousness of Jesus Christ, how about you give that to me, Lord? How about that be the way for salvation? I mean, that would not be a way that man would come up with. Who would have the courage to ask God, God, can you sacrifice your son for me? We would not even think about that. And yet the Lord was able to say, you know what? I'm going to send my son to die in your place, to take your punishment, to take your sins on his body. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways, you know. And I praise God for a God of the Bible that makes salvation so easy, you know, just by simple faith on him. Can you please go to Isaiah 40, please? Isaiah 40, 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28, please. Isaiah 40, 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." There is no searching of his understanding. Man cannot understand God. Man cannot understand. Again, you must be saved. You must have the Holy Spirit of God in order for him to reveal the understanding of God. What a blessing as a Christian to know the truth of God's word. There are so many lies in our world today. So many lies from the official narrative of everything that's going on in this world. Okay, all the COVID things and everything else that's going on. Okay, possibly COVID is just, you know, the cover for other things that are going on in this world. Think about all the lies that have been pumped into us by mainstream media. And as I said before, even the lies of the alternate media, even the lies of those that are trying to fight the official narrative, they're full of lies. There's lies everywhere. This is 100% the source of truth, God's word. What a blessing to know that we can have truth all the time, and it all requires us to open up the Bible, pray to the Lord, God, guide me. Give me your spirit to understand your wisdom, Lord. And we have the greatest information, the greatest media that God has ever given us in black and white here written down or on your phones. Hey, you know what? The word of God is not bound. And we found all over the place. You know, pretty much anybody can have the Bible in their pockets now because we all have smartphones. And what an amazing thing that we are given the privilege as God's people to receive 100% truth. We don't have to filter and go, okay, what's the lie here? Let's just make sure we only pick up the truth in God's word. It's all true. Even the lies are recorded for us, are truthfully recorded for us. The lies that have been said by other people, not the lies of God. God cannot lie. But the lies that have been said of other people are truthfully recorded for us. All right? History is recorded for us. Creation is recorded for us. Okay? Salvation is recorded for us. The future is recorded for us. What a wonderful thing to have the Bible and to have the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. So our fleshly mind is unable to completely process God's methods and reasoning. And as I said, that's probably my biggest lesson that I've learned this past year. Nothing I planned went according to plan. Nothing I wanted, brethren. But I look back and I go, well, God, you know better than me. It's not like things didn't work according to my plan, therefore I've had a bad year. Actually, I've had a really good year. I've learned so much. I've been able to really spend some time with my family. You know, as much as I wanted to fly up there every single week, I've been prevented. I've enjoyed the break. Believe it or not, I've enjoyed the break, right? I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm in Sydney. The brethren in Sydney need their pastor at this point in time, I suppose, more than New Life Baptist Church. But the Lord knows this, right? It's not like I came up with that. The Lord knows this stuff better than me, okay? You know, I think if I was in Queensland this whole time and the church down here is going through all these lockdowns and restrictions and, you know, the 5-kilometer rule, I think it'd be hard for me to wrap my head around that and be a supportive pastor for them. But having to go through that with them, you know, is a real blessing. And I don't know, maybe these same regulations and, you know, health orders, maybe they're all coming to Queensland eventually. Hopefully I'm back up there and I can, hey, I've learned the lessons down in Sydney. Maybe I can be a greater blessing up there in Queensland. The Lord knows. I don't know. I've come to realize I do not know. You know, and I think a sign of spiritual maturity is when you're able to say, boy, the more I learn about God, the less I realize I know about God. The more I learn about the Bible, the less I realize I understand his infinite knowledge and wisdom. Hey, that's a true sign of maturity, of growth, when God allows you to experience these things and you can see and, wow, God, you're really working in my life and you're trying to make me a better man. You know, God, you're trying to make me a better pastor. You're trying to make me a better father. You're trying to make me a better husband, right? In my case, you know, apply that for you. And I hope you can look back in the past year and say, boy, God, you've made me a better person. And if you can't say that, well, maybe your lessons are still need to be learned. Maybe there are many things in your life that you still need to learn. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible. Again, this is contrary to the thinking of man. Man thinks, well, if I see it, I'll believe it. No, even if they saw it, they wouldn't believe it. You know, they'll say, if Jesus Christ appeared before me and did a miracle, I'd believe in him. No, you wouldn't. Because the Pharisees saw Jesus, they saw the works of his hands, they saw the Father do amazing miracles through the Son, and they still did not believe on him. God has given us his word, he's given us faith, he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us a gospel preacher, he's given us a soul winner that showed us salvation, that guided us through the scriptures so we could call upon the name of the Lord in faith and accept him as Savior. There's nothing else that God can do. That's the only way that he can cut through the heart of man, is by using his word, a soul winner, teaching us the words of God. People don't understand God. You know, even Christians, even saved Christians, I have to say saved Christians, because Christians means nothing. Even saved people do not fully understand God, you know. And there's almost like a resistance in man to want to know God. People will say things like, God isn't angry, right? Even saved Christians would say God isn't angry. But then you got Psalm 7:11, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Listen, there's not a single day that goes by where God is not angry. God is angry at the wicked every day. So, well, okay, he's angry, but God doesn't hate. You know, hate is a sin, right? hate leads to the dark side of the force. And God is not that kind of God. No, you know what? God hates. God hates, right? Say, well, maybe God hates the sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. Surely God does not hate people. Well, then you got Psalm 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. It doesn't say God hates the iniquity, and God does hate the iniquity, but God hatest all workers of iniquity. God hates the people that do iniquity. This is the Bible. This is the God that we need to learn about. This is the God that Christians need to learn about. This is the God that churches need to preach about. His ways are not our ways. God knows better than you. God knows about himself more than you know about God. Okay, because you come up with a crazy God of your own imagination and you can't understand these attributes of God. You know, some will say, well, God doesn't send anyone to hell. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You send yourself to hell, they'll say. But then you got Matthew 13:41, the words of humble Jesus Christ. Okay, he says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Who cast them into this fire? Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is going to cast the ungodly, those that have not believed on him, into the lake of fire. He doesn't just send them there. Okay, go your way there. No, he casts them. He picks them up and he throws them into hellfire. This is the Jesus of the New Testament that we're talking about here. This is the true God of the Bible. Okay, plus all the wonderful qualities that we love to preach about. But we need to understand the fullness of God. It's revealed to us in his word. Why do we ignore? Well, I don't ignore it anymore. But hey, you know, people, Christians, save people, want to deny, change the Bible, make excuses for God. The reason they do this is they just do not understand the Lord. They haven't got the faith to say, well, God, you hate. God, you get angry. God, you cast people into hellfire. I'm just going to believe it. It's hard for me, Lord. I need to renew my mind here. I need to accept what you're saying. And I'm going to go by faith that you do this, Lord. And when you do that, you start to understand. And then you can appreciate sin. You can appreciate, how much God hates sin. You can appreciate why God is so angry. You can appreciate why there's nothing man could do to be saved except for the Lord God to send his only begotten Son to die in our place. Then you can fully comprehend and understand the goodness and the love of God as well. As I said, the other title, the other title that I was thinking about today is Let God Be God. Let God Be God. Because he knows best. Okay, I mean, these two things go together. And you know, when we don't fully understand God, you know, you can look at your life, maybe not just the past year, but maybe the past 10 years, your whole life. You know, you look at it and say, well, there are things that happened and I wish it never happened to me. I wish I didn't go through that. I wish God did not allow me to go through that. But again, God knows better than you. And listen, when you don't understand, when you go to your pastor and you ask questions and you still don't understand, when you go to God's Bible and you read God's word and you still don't understand, and you go to God in prayer and you don't get the answer and you just still don't understand, hey, then you just need to learn to rest in him and accept that you're never fully going to understand the knowledge and the counsel of God. You can ask him in heaven, okay? You can ask him in heaven, but when you get to that point where you just can't fully comprehend, you can't fully understand, you know, I think of Psalm 17:8. This is what we should do. We just ask God, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. God, I don't get it. I don't fully understand life. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why I went through that. Lord, it seems like that's just a bad thing to happen to me. You know, I don't understand how you could take good out of that situation, Lord. I don't know what you're planning for me, Lord. I don't know what my future. I'm just going to hide myself under your wings, Lord, because I know you'll protect me. I know you have your eye upon me, and I'm just going to trust that you know better than me, that you know better than me. Some other great passages, I'll just read them to you about God's understanding. You know, Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counselor? Obviously, nobody. You cannot counsel God. You cannot know the mind of the Lord. Except we kind of can, once again, through his word. But again, we cannot fully understand it completely. Okay? You cannot counsel God. You cannot come to God and say, well, God, look, listen, God, you know, we're having a hard time in COVID world right now. We're having a hard time. The masks have come back in Southeast Queensland. I don't think Sunshine Coast, praise God. But, you know, Lord, look, if I was God, Lord, let me just give you some counsel. Let me just give you some advice right now, God. Please kill all these wicked people right now. Lord, just remove all the masks. I'll just right now, Lord, just get rid of all this COVID. Just finish it with it, Lord, right now. Just, we want to get back to life. Just open the borders to Queensland so our pastor can get up here, Lord. And I mean, think about what will you like. Can you counsel God? Nobody can counsel God. You say, well, God's not doing it. God's allowing it to happen. God is allowing it to happen. God is judging our nation. All right. And God knows better than us. Okay. That God is ultimately fulfilling his plans. And sometimes he has to use the wicked to do that, okay? And then those wicked will have to deal the consequences for the wrong that they've done. But God allows it, and we just have to rest in faith. God, you know better than me. You know what's better, Lord, and I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to let God be God, and I can't be God, okay? Jeremiah 23, verse 24 says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" The Lord fills heaven and earth. He's not just situated in heaven, which we said, yeah, that's where his throne is. But if he were to just present himself in the open, he would fill it all and fill it beyond that as well. God fills it all. We serve a big God. We serve an awesome, majestic God. We cannot contain him. Creation cannot contain God. He is the creator. He cannot, you know, make a creation that, you know, is larger than him. He is in all places at all times and knows all things. You know, God sees all and he hears all. It also says in verse number 25, that Jeremiah 23, 25, "I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." You know, false prophets do not get away with teaching lies. We can get angry at those that are teaching false gospels and the false prophets that are leading people to hell. But you know what? They're not going to get away with it. God knows what they're saying. God knows when people speak lies in his name. God knows when people twist the word of God to suit their biases or whatever, their agenda. God knows that. And, you know, let that be a sobering thought, not just to me, but to any man that gets behind the pulpit trying to expound the word of God, okay? Don't take shortcuts. Don't think, well, that verse kind of supports what I'm saying. No, not really, but I'm just going to make it seem like it is. You know, God knows when you lie. God knows when you're not honest with the word of God. You know, this should be a fearful thing to stand before God's people and preach his word. I want to get it right. I mean, it's already 100% truth. If all I do is just read it nonstop for a full hour, I've done the best job I possibly can. There's no corruption there. There's no lies there. We need to make sure that when we spend time teaching God's word, whether it's behind the pulpit, teaching our friends, teaching our children, that we don't, you know, lie. We don't exaggerate. You know, we just let God's word speak for itself. God can hear what you're saying. He's interested in the sermon this morning. God is, you know, it's Sunday here in Australia. God is listening to all the preaching that's going on in Australia right now to see what is being preached that is true and what is being preached that are lies. Okay. God hears and sees all things. Can you please listen to Job 28, the book of Job? Please go to Job 28, verse number 24. Job 28, 24. You can see that this is a very deep topic. Then, of course, it's deep. It's infinite. The knowledge of God is infinite, right? But look what Job says. Job 28, verse 24. This is what Job says about God. It says, "For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out." What? So he saw it. He declares it what? You know, the earth, the winds, the waters, the rain, the lightning. He sees it. He declares it. He prepared it. Yea, and searched it out. God knows every little detail there is to know. Every little detail about the wind, he knows it. He knows how much it weighs. He knows the speed at which the wind blows. He knows the damage that wind can make. He knows which way it's moving. I mean, there is constant wind on this earth, all different directions, all different forces. God knows it all. He prepared it. He leads it that way, the way he sees fit. It says he weigheth the waters by measure, the oceans, the seas, the rivers. God knows how much all that water weighs. And that, guess what? That water is constantly moving. We have water that's constantly evaporating into the atmosphere. We have rivers that are constantly flowing in and out. We have tides moving in and out. You know, every moment the waters are moving. Every moment the weights are shifting, okay? Up, you know, from mountainside down to the lower valleys, right? Evaporation through the atmosphere. And yet at every moment, while it's all changing, the weights of the waters are constantly changing, God knows how much it weighs right now. And now he knows how much it weighs right now. And as it changes again, he knows how much it weighs right now. God's knowledge is amazing. And you say, well, why would God need to know that? You know, it just seems like pointless. God knows it though. All right, God knows it though. That's how great our God is. Okay? There must be purpose for God to even know such detail that just seems to us insignificant. Yet God knows, right? It says, when he maketh the decree for the rain, God decrees for the rain to fall. He knows how many drops have fallen. Every single drop that falls from the sky on earth, he knows where that drop has fallen. He knows the purpose for why that drop fell. He knows why that drop fell on your garden or on your roof or on your pergola. Okay? God knows that drop that maybe a child opened his mouth at the rain and the drop fell in his mouth. And he knows why he did that. God has purposed every single drop of water to fall on this earth, and he knows exactly where it's gone and for what purpose. Okay? And not only that, it says, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. We've all seen storms, and it's an amazing sight, right? To see, you know, not just the sound of great thunder, which can be scary, but also the direction. Like, you see the lightning, it's so quick, okay? It is so powerful, and it just seems to zigzag in random ways, it seems to us. We might even have thought it was random. But actually, it says in verse number 26, it says, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. God said, all right, I want that lightning to go this way. I want it to have that shape. I want it to hit that tree. I want it to hit that pole. I want it to cause this sound in the thunder. God directed all these things that seem to us just random events on the earth. No, God put it in place. He made it happen that way. Okay, all the storms that are going on the earth right now, God is aware of it and he's directing it. He knows his purpose behind it. And you say, I don't know the purpose. I don't think there's a purpose. God has a purpose for it. Okay? God has a purpose for everything that he does. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how God cares about just the smallest details, you know, which is just, if you just try to process every single raindrop on this earth, you lose your mind. You go insane. Okay? I was thinking about, you know, how can we sort of understand this a little bit? Think about the chessboard, right? I'm not a big fan of chess. Nicholas loves chess. But a lot of people understand chess. And, you know, you've got so many moves that anybody can make, right? It's just the amount of moves that can happen in any game, you know, with different players, you know, can be so many. Like, you'll never play a chess game which is exactly the same. Okay, I mean, unless you're trying to copy it or something, right? But you're playing against different opponents, they're going to have different moves, okay? They're going to decide to move the rook at different points in time or the pawns at different locations, or whatever it is, right? And, you know, you can become very skillful at the game and you can, you know, create tactics and strategies. But what if you knew every single move that is ever possible to have been ever made in any play of the game? And that whatever player you're playing against, not only do you know every single move of every single piece, but you know every move that your opponent's going to make before they make it. I mean, think about how much brain processing you would need just for a game of chess to understand it all, every single game. You say, well, maybe if I just, okay, set up the chessboard and I get ready to play and I just knock down all my pieces and I break all the rules and I just throw the chessboard on the table. Yeah, God knows that one as well. God knows you're going to do that as well, okay? You can't outthink God. But imagine just knowing everything there is about chess, every single move, every single play, every single opponent, even before they did it. Boy, you could not do it. You could not do it. You know, one of Australia's favorite pastimes is the football. I mean, I know the Queenslanders love football, right? I mean, you love football, not you, but not the church. But, you know, our premier, you know, loves football players and their families more than Queensland residents, obviously, because they can actually travel into the state, okay? But imagine, right? Like, obviously, every single football game, now whatever, you know, whichever code of football it is, whatever, okay? Imagine, you know, knowing every single position that a person could stand, you know, every single blade of grass that a person could stand on, you know, every single move or every single pass, every single kick of the ball, you know, every single save, every single trajectory of the ball that it could travel, every single play possible on a football field. Listen, this is why people can watch a game week after week after week or several days after several days, because there's no game alike. Every football game's going to be different. You could live your entire life just watching football, okay? From the time you're born to the time you die, let's say you live 100 years, you can watch every single game. That's all you do all day. You just watch football game after football game after football game. Listen, none of them are going to be the same. They're all going to be different, yeah? And you still, when you die, you still haven't looked at them all. Yet God knows every single play on a football field, every single blade of grass on a football field. God knows every single piece of dirt that got kicked in the sky when they kicked the ball, or every piece of dirt that got trampled down on the ground. God knows it all. God knows every single move that is possible, okay? So again, that would blow my mind. That would blow. Yeah, okay. Now think about the whole earth. Now think about every single human being. Now think about everything that could possibly take place in the weather, in politics, in finance, in education, in knowledge, in the choices of man, okay? And guess what? We're given free will. Everything we do, there's a free will. We decide. I'm going to decide right now to take a cup of water. You know, this is not pre-programmed by God, yet God's not surprised. One sip. God's not surprised I just did that. God's not surprised I just had that as an illustration for my sermon this morning. God knew that was going to happen. I don't even know God knows how much that weighs. God knows exactly how much I just drank. I mean, God knows the details. God knows every single detail. And when you can just sort of consider that, it should blow your mind. It blows my mind, brethren. It blows my mind. And again, God knows better than you. God knows better than you. Now, can you please turn to Matthew? Turn to Matthew chapter 10 for me. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah 1:5, which says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." You know, God knowing so many things. God knows you as well. You know, God knew you before he formed you in the belly. God knew everything there is to know about you, your height, your looks, your preferences, your personality. God knows all of you. God knows you even before you were formed, even before you were born, okay? And while our God, you think, would be so busy with everything there is to know about in the universe and to control every single raindrop and lightning strike, yet God still cares about you. God still has time to think about you. And, you know, if you're saved, and look, even if you're unsaved, God still loved you to the point where he sent his son to die for you. And now that you are saved, if you are saved, you're a child of God. You know what? God, it may seem like God is so busy. It may seem like sometimes, well, things are out of control, but they're not out of control. They're out of control from our perspective, but it's fully in control of God. And yet, even seemingly, it seems like God will be so busy. He's still able to think about you. He's still with you. He's still watching you. He still sees the struggles and the concerns that you have in life. You're in Matthew 10, look at verse number 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father?" Every bird that dies, God knows about it. Every bird that has something to eat, God knows about it. God knows every little movement of every single bird, even when they die, even when they fall. Verse number 30. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." God knows every single hair you've got on your head right now, okay? Verse number 31. "Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." You are valuable to God. You are a son of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are valuable to God. If God seems to care so much about the birds and the lightning and the waters and the oceans and the skies, how much more does God care about you? You're a child of God. God loves you. God has his eye upon you. God has not forgotten you. Again, we can go for this last year and go, boy, it's out of control. I don't know. My plans are out of control. God knows. God knew. God knows better than us. His plans are in place. His purposes are in place, and we just need to learn to accept it by faith. Can you go to Matthew 6, please? Matthew 6, verse number 7. Matthew 6, verse number 7, which reads, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." So should we pray? Yeah, we should pray, but let's not pray like these people that use vain repetitions. Let's be careful with how we pray. Let's not just repeat the same words over and over again and make it some type of ritual. Look at verse number 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Does God want us to ask him in prayer for things that we need? Absolutely. Does he know that we need it before we ask him? Absolutely. Now, this is not teaching, therefore you don't need to ask because God already knows. This is not teaching that if you don't ask, you're still going to get it. It's not teaching that, okay? The thought here is that God loves you that much, that God's eyes are upon you so much, okay, that even when you're like, oh, I was earlier, you know, actually before the service, the sermon started, I was like looking for a pen. I found a pen down here, all right? It's like, well, God knew I needed that pen right now just to make a little note in my sermon notes right now, right there, okay? Why is that? Because God cares. God finds you interesting. He's interested in your life. He wants your fellowship. He wants to spend time with you. He watches us. And before we even realize that we're missing certain things, before we even realize that we have a need of things, God already knows, because he's that invested in your life. He's that interested in your life that he knows before you even know the things that you need. But just like any father, he still wants us to go to him and ask of him and say, God, you already knew that I needed this, but I really need it. Can you please, Lord, in your perfect timing, give it to me? You know better than me, though, Lord. And I guess if I don't get it, I guess you knew the reason why, but I feel I need it right now, Lord. But I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to have my faith in you that you're going to take care of my every need. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 3:20, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." God is greater than our heart. You know, God knows your heart. That's why, you know, your heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. God knows more than you. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Whatever it is that your heart meditates and thinks upon and supposedly knows, God already knew that. It's greater than our heart. Of course it is. Okay? But notice, God knows our hearts. That's the point. God knows our hearts. Not only does he know that we exist and that we're walking this earth and we need our food and our raiment and our shelter to get through life, but God knows even the deep desires that we have in our heart. That's why we can't even hide our sins before God. You know, it's foolish to think, well, I'll just sin and, you know, God doesn't know about it. No one else knows about it. No, God knows every intention of the heart, and God knows why you committed that sin. You can't hide it from God. Don't be foolish. Just go and confess it before the Lord. Get yourself right with God. Can you please turn to 1 Corinthians 2, please? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to quickly read to you from Hebrews 4:12. You go to 1 Corinthians 2. I'll read to you from Hebrews 4:12. You know, the greatest piece of evidence that God knows us, what is the greatest piece of evidence that proves that God knows us? Well, as I said, it's the Bible. It's the Bible, okay? The Bible is proof that God knows us. Not only is it great for us to know God, but it's proof that God knows us, okay? Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Then it says this, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." This is why we can all pick up this book, and we're all different people. We all come from different backgrounds. We have different ethnicities. We have different experiences. Some of us have been saved longer than others, okay? And yet we can all pick up this Bible, and we can read about mankind. We can read about creation. We can read and go, hold on, that's about me. Oh, God, are you speaking about me? Well, this is something I need to change in my life. Wow, this verse comforted me today. Why is that? Because this is proof that God knows you. He's given us a book not just to reveal him to us, but it reveals us to ourselves. This is proof that this is not the work of a man, but the work of God. Every person that is saved can read this book and see, as it were, a mirror looking back at them and say, boy, I come short of the glory of God. Boy, I need a savior. Boy, I need the Lord. I need to have faith. I need to grow. I come so short in my failings. I need the Lord. This is the greatest piece of evidence to know that God knows you personally. He's written his Bible not just for mankind in general, yes, but for you. For you. Because God loves you so much that he's written you all these words, all 66 books. Please read your Bible cover to cover. God intended it for you so you can learn more about yourself, learn more about the Lord God, learn more how to be righteous. You're in 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 10. And as I said, everything has a purpose, and we cannot fully comprehend the purpose, you know. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice this, that God has revealed so much of his knowledge to us through his word. Verse number 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way we can discern God's knowledge is by the Spirit of God. God has given us such an amazing gift. You know, the third person of the Trinity to live in our hearts, to guide us in the truth of God's word. It says in verse number 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. We can judge all things that are relevant to our understanding of society and life. And, you know, with God's word, we can make the best judgment every time. We can make the right decision every time, as long as we digest God's word and we allow the Spirit of God to teach us great truths and develop knowledge and wisdom in our lives. Verse number 16. Now, this is amazing. For who have known the mind of the Lord? And that's a great question. Who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who can instruct God? Nobody. Who can counsel God? Nobody. Who can know the mind of God? Nobody. But then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Oh, man. What an amazing thing. Okay, we have the mind of Christ. God has given us a measure of his mind, a measure of his understanding. Christ came to this earth as a man, 100% man, yet 100% God, and he's given us the example, his steps to follow, okay? And we can now have a greater relationship. We can relate to God even more, knowing that God has also been a man. He's also lived on this earth. He's also been tempted in all points. And we have Jesus Christ to be that example of what we're trying to achieve in this world. Let it never be, you know, that your eyes are set upon just, you know, just a pastor or something, Pastor Sepulveda. You know, I've always said this, I'm going to fail you. I've already failed you many times, okay? But you have to have your heart on the Lord God, you know, have your heart on Jesus Christ, your eyes on Christ. Say, you know what, it's too much to comprehend all of God's knowledge, but God has given me this measure, the mind of Christ, and I want to set Christ as my example. I want to make sure that I walk in his paths, and this is going to give me great wisdom, great understanding, great success to walk on this earth, to walk after the steps of Jesus Christ. As I said, everything has a purpose. And you're in 1 Corinthians, aren't you? So yeah, please go to, you're in 1 Corinthians. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. I'm near the end now. I know I'm going a bit over time, but hey, it's the anniversary. We've got one service today, praise God. So if we got a little bit over time, I'm sure you'll forgive me. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So we know the Old Testament stories of how the Israelites of old, when they came out of Egypt, they went through the sea, they went through the Red Sea. And we can read that story and go, that's an amazing story. Wow, imagine being experiencing that, right? Walking through dry ground and seeing the Lord then close those waters and destroy the Egyptian army. Amazing, you might say. You know, actually, all of that Yeah, it served the purpose for Moses. It served the purpose for the children of Israel. But you know, somehow, in God's infinite wisdom, in God's infinite knowledge, he said, you know what? When the Israelites go through the Red Sea, this is also for New Life Baptist Church. This is also for Pastor Sepulveda. This is also for Brother Jason. This is also for Brother Callum. This is also for Brother Rob and for Brother Caleb and for Brother Matthew. You know, God already set these things in place with infinite knowledge. Well, this is also for them. In what way? Because it says in verse number 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So we understand baptism today. And one great understanding of the baptism is to go, well, you know what? Even the Old Testament saints in the past had a picture of baptism, okay, being passed through the water. And now this is for us. When we get baptized, we can look back and say, man, God, you've given us such great pictures, great stories of the past. And we're continuing on this great tradition of the Bible of baptizing believers, those that want to publicly recognize and acknowledge that they have put their faith on Jesus Christ. Verse number 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Say, what's the big deal about eating? Okay, verse number 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. What spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What? Right? So when they go through the wilderness and they're getting hungry and God provides their food, and when they're without water and then God allows water to come out of a rock, you say, well, wow, that's wonderful for the Israelites, right? It's wonderful how God provided for them. Well done, guys. You know, you got to see amazing miracles. And God says, no, it's not just for them. It's for you as well, New Life Baptist Church. So you can learn that the rock is Christ. Then you can learn that when you go without and when you need to be fed and you need to be, when you're thirsty and you need to drink water, that God's going to provide. And the one that provides is the rock, which is Christ. And it's for us to learn. These aren't just stories of the past. And yet they took place in the past. And yet before we were even born, God knew that this was stories for us that we can learn from. God's wisdom is infinite. His purposes are beyond, okay? Beyond. We cannot fully comprehend everything that takes place. Let's keep going. Verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So we know now we're going to be looking not just at positive things, but at negative things that happened with the Israelites. Say, well, man, those Israelites of old, boy, they were horrible people. Why were they so stiff-necked against God? Why did they disobey God? Well, you know, God says, well, yeah, I allowed them to disobey. Yes, I've disciplined them. I've corrected them. I've cursed those people for the wrong that they've done. But it's for you, New Life Baptist Church. It's for you to learn the same, not to make the same mistakes. It says there in verse number 6, now these things were our examples. What? Hold on, God. So when they messed up, there was still a purpose. Like, you might say, well, it would be better if they never messed up. But then God would say, yeah, but then I wouldn't have an example for you. So you don't mess up. You see, God has a purpose for us. God loves us. He's interested in us. He wants us to do well in life. You know, things that transpire in the past, even though they're major mistakes, even though you might say, well, oh, man, why did you do it? It's so we can learn. It's for you, brethren. You're that important to God that he cares enough about history to allow things in history to take place so we can learn from those same mistakes. Verse number 6, now these things were our examples to the intent which should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Boy, there's a lot of murmuring going on in COVID world. Please don't be a murmurer. Please don't be a complainer. Please don't whine about everything that's going on in the COVID world. Just rely on the Lord and say, Lord, you have a purpose for what's going on. Lord, I can't see it right now, but you've got a purpose. And I'm sure the Israelites of old, when they were being chastised by God, they're like, I don't know what the purpose is right now, Lord. But yeah, it's to be corrected, praise now. Okay, we can get right as a nation. We can do the word right. But then God says, yeah, but it's not just for you. It's also for all the believers that go after you. I've allowed that to happen. There's a purpose for it. Brethren, there's a purpose for COVID world. You know, let's never wish that it never happened, you know, because then we're saying we know better than God. No, God allowed it to happen for his reasons. Okay, let us not be murmurers and complainers. It's not going to do you any good. Understand that there's a purpose for it, okay? We need to go through it for whatever reasons. And then future generations will be able to look back and see the mistakes and go, man, we better not do that again. Well, boy, look how the saints of God went through this tough time. And then maybe a future generation that might go through something like a great tribulation, end times tribulation, can look back and see some good examples of the past and say, hey, man, boy, you know, this is not the first time that saints have gone through some challenges. Let's continue soldiering for God. We can't fully understand every little play that God has in mind because he knows better than us. What does it say? Verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Why did God record all these stories in the Old Testament? For you and me. That's why. For our admonition. Okay? You are important to God. You are an important person in God's history. Okay? His eyes are upon you. He knows what you need. Okay? And he knows better than you. I'm going to quickly read to you from 1 Corinthians 12:18. Actually, you're in 1 Corinthians, so just go there. 1 Corinthians 12, please, 18. And I want you to also know that you're important and you're necessary to New Life Baptist Church. You are, okay? And the fact that I'm here in Sydney longer than anticipated, it's God's will. It's God's plan. There's nothing I can do, brethren, okay? I mean, I can force myself, but I have a feeling God's going to make my life a bit hard if I force it to happen, okay? We need to just rest in God, all right? But you're important to this church. We're celebrating 4 years. And if you're there sitting in the church right now, you're exactly where you need to be. God put you there in place. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Speaking about a local church here. God has set you at New Life Baptist Church right now, this morning. Why? Because it pleases God. It pleases God that you're here right now celebrating the four-year anniversary. God cares about every single person that makes up our church. Okay? We saw how infinite his knowledge is. We saw how complex, you know, this world is, and yet God controls it all. God sees it all. God allows it to happen. Okay? And with purpose. You've got a purpose at New Life Baptist Church. You know, you've got a purpose to God. You're important. You're loved by God. You may feel like you're not loved by man. You may feel like you're insignificant to man, but you're not insignificant to God. God knows even the number on your hair. You know, every single hair you've got on your head, we saw that earlier. He knows it all. So, brethren, you are important to God. New Life Baptist Church is important to God. Everything that you've gone through and everything that you will go through has a purpose, okay? And sometimes you'll learn what that purpose is. Sometimes you won't. But that's when you need to just put your faith on the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know. You know. God knows better than you. Okay, let's pray.